We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to ask you a question. Have you ever wanted to change something about your spouse? All right? No, never. All right? So sometimes I find myself wanting to change something about my wife. It might be something small, something big, but I love my wife very much, but that doesn't stop her from frustrating me sometimes. There's things that I want to be different, whether it's something I want her to grow in or something that I don't want her to do, all right? So before you all quickly start judging me, all right, I want you to be honest, all right? There's something about your spouse that drives you nuts, whether it's something small or it's something big. So for example, for me, many husbands may sympathize, but maybe not. Maybe wives would sympathize as well. But one particular issue that drives me nuts is my wife is not particularly punctual. And worse than that, her estimates of how much time it takes to get ready are just downright ridiculous. So she'll just say, hey, I just need 30 minutes to freshen up. And I'll be waiting like an hour later and be like, what happened? Like, I've just been sitting out here. And so, like, we'll go on a date. And I'll say, hey, like, let's leave on a date. The babysitter's going to get here at 6:30. You know, like, let's take off. And then I'll just sit out there with the babysitter, talking to the babysitter and playing with my kids for like an extra half hour. And I'm like, man, I'm not sure that I should be paying the babysitter to be my friend and hang out with me. But right, but it's situations like that, right, that we find ourselves in. Sometimes something small, like being late, or maybe you are involved in the epic toilet paper over-under debate with your spouse. Or I know, for example, one thing my wife wants to change about me, and I'm sure the list is long, is that I leave my socks everywhere. It's not intentional. It just happens, okay? But it's one of those things that I know she wants to change, or how about, you know, doing the dishes or cleaning the house? Or maybe it's something that feels larger, something like the fact that they're fighting with depression, and they're just generally down most of the time. Or maybe it feels like your spouse is too critical or naggy, and you just want them to say something nice to you and be more encouraging. Or maybe you just want your spouse to come to church with you. Maybe that's something that you want them to grow in or change in. Or maybe it's something in your physical relationship that you want to change. Or maybe showing interest in your desires. You're like, I'm always investing in their desires, but they don't show any interest in my desires. Or maybe there's an addiction in their life that you want to change that's impacting you or your family. Or maybe it's their work habits. There's an imbalance in their work, and so you want more time with them. So really the question comes down to, how do I change my spouse? Right? Right? And we all have this question, and whether you've outright asked it as bluntly as I am here, right? That's really the question we have. How do we change these things, and what's the motivation behind it? The motivation behind why we want to change our spouse is because of the way that their choices impact us, the way that they make us feel, right? I feel hurt or upset or frustrated or I feel missed, regardless of whether it's something small or it's something big. We all have these things that we want to change in our spouse. And we've been in a series called Radiant. And throughout the series, we've been looking at, throughout Scripture, there are several verses that talk about freedom and joy and abundance that's available through Jesus Christ. In fact, John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come they may have life and have it abundantly. Right? There's this abundant life that's available, and specifically in marriages, we've talked about this term radiant, which means to reflect God's glory. Well, the purpose of marriage is actually to do that. Marriage itself is supposed to reflect God's relationship with his church. Jesus and the church. And so that's the purpose of marriage. But as we've talked about this idea through this Radiant series, we've talked about boundaries. This idea that there are things that God gives us to take responsibility for ourselves, and that we can set limits on good and evil. We can set expectations and boundaries around where we end and the other person begins. Well, that's particularly difficult in the marriage relationship, because boundaries at their core promote separation. Right? I'm saying, here's the boundary line. Like, this is the end of me, and now you're over here. But marriage in itself, the Bible says, is two becoming one. So boundaries get really confusing in this relationship, probably more so than any other relationship. Now, today we are going to talk about boundaries in marriage, but throughout the series, we've talked about all kinds of boundaries. If you've missed any of that, the audio is available online. And there's also a resource in the back. It's a book. I think we still have a couple copies left. You're welcome to pick up one of those. But as we go through this series, we're going to end this series today on boundaries in marriage. And so whether you're in a marriage relationship or not, I think there's some important lessons that we can learn even from what we talk about today. So it makes sense, if we're going to talk about marriage, to look at Ephesians chapter 5. So this is Ephesians 5, 31 and 32, and I want to read it to you. It says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church." So before we talk about how to change our spouse, let's look closely at what God's word says about marriage. First, marriage is supposed to be the image of Christ and his church. It literally is supposed to be radiant. That's the definition of it. And so as people look at marriages, if they look at Christian marriages, there should be a difference from a Christian marriage, one that honors the Lord and is following the Lord, versus one that's not. One has a purpose of glorifying God in its image, and another does not. So why is it that so many times our marriage relationships still face these difficulties? I would say that a lot of these come down to some boundary issues. Not exclusively, but I think that's an important lesson that we can look at. And the second thing, it says two become one flesh. And it's this idea of two people coming together, right? But it's two completely whole people coming together to form one. But how do we reconcile that with boundaries? Well, even in the context of Christ and the church, if that's what marriage represents, there are some important distinctions. As authors Cloud and Townsend say in their book called Boundaries, I want to read this to you. Here's some important distinctions they make. They say, Christ has some things that only he can do. The church has some things that only it can do, and they have some things that they do together. Only Christ could die. Only the church can represent him on earth in his absence and obey his commands, and together they work on many things, such as saving the lost. Similarly, in marriage, some duties one spouse does, some duties the other does, and some they do together. And I think the difficulty doesn't just arise when we talk about who will cook or clean or mow the lawn, right? The division of responsibilities aren't typically where the big arguments happen, though they might, right? The big conflicts typically happen when we begin to try to change a person's attitudes, actions, feelings, desires, or choices. Right? That's when the big things happen. There's elements of a person, who they are, what they believe, what their values are, the choices that they make, what they feel. And it's when we try to change those that all of a sudden we run into these walls. And that's where a lot of the big challenges are. And so today, as we seek the answer of how to change our spouse, I want to make this important point through this message. And it's this: we don't change our spouse, change your boundaries. Don't change your spouse, change your boundaries. Because a lot of the areas that we get frustrated are things that we want our spouse to feel, or we want them to believe, or we want them to do, or actions, but those are things that are not in our control. The things that are in control are our boundaries, the things that we allow, the good and the bad that we allow. Now, the topic of boundaries in marriage is pretty expansive, and there's a lot of different ways we could approach today. One example would be, we could talk about the boundaries that your marriage might have with the outside world. So one example of that might be, you decide as a couple, you say, hey, every Thursday night or Friday night, we want to have a date night. So if any other outside source tries to put something on that night, we're going to say no, because we want to hold to our date night. That might be one boundary that your marriage sets with the outside world. Another boundary that you might have is a boundary within your marriage, something that you and your spouse agree together, and we say, anything outside of this is out of bounds. One example you might say is, together we are deciding to never use the word divorce. Even if we're joking, even if we're upset, we are going to set a boundary that word is off limits. We don't go there. That might be one boundary you set within your marriage together. Then there's also boundaries you have with your spouse. And that's different. That's something that you would set with your spouse. You might say, this behavior you're doing hurts me, and I can't control you. I can't make you stop that behavior, but I can set limits on how much I will allow myself to be impacted by it. And those are boundaries with your spouse within your marriage. And that's where we're going to focus today, If you want to go deeper, it's well worth your time. There are great resources available. One of them is that book in the back, and it's this book called Boundaries by Drs. Cloud and Townsend. And I think we have a couple copies in the back, and it's available on Amazon if you want to pick that up. But I want to start today by talking about feelings. All right, feelings are one of those things that it's important to set boundaries around. It's important to understand our responsibility when it comes to our feelings. All right, so as we talk about boundaries today in marriage, here's the goal that we have. The goal that we have is that in our marriages, we would experience freedom and responsibility. Freedom and responsibility. So if I feel safe in my marriage, right, if I can communicate and I can share with you things that I feel, even if it differs with you, right, I have a different opinion about something, I feel something that's different than you, I have a different political view or a different view about how we might interact with our kids. If we have a safe and healthy relationship and I feel free to do that, then that's a good, healthy relationship. All right, if I feel safe enough to communicate that, that's a good thing. That's a freedom that we have. And it's within that context of freedom that we experience more intimacy in our relationship. Freedom to express our feelings, even if they're different. All right? The second thing is responsibility. In marriage, you have two people coming together, but each person comes with responsibility. You want two responsible people that are responsible to each other, not for each other. Right? If one spouse constantly needs the other person to carry all the weight, then that's not a full, healthy relationship. Right? You need two people that can handle their own responsibilities. And is there some sharing? Absolutely. There's love and sacrifice in that. But the reality is, two people coming together, sharing freedom and responsibility, is when we experience a healthy, intimate relationship. So as we talk about feelings, I want to share one example just of an interaction that Nicole and I have had. Nicole wants me to eat healthy. That's something, a value she has. And so she cooks healthier meals, and she has healthier options, and she's always doing research and trying to encourage me to eat healthier things. And sometimes I do great with that, and sometimes I don't. And it's not always malicious. It's more just laziness, right? It's convenience or whatever. Sometimes I don't always make the best choices with that. Well, one time we got in kind of an argument, and I asked her, I said, hey, what's going on? You know, what are you feeling? And it took her a moment to actually really get down to the real kind of root of the issue. And then finally she said to me, she said, you know, I feel scared. I feel scared that maybe someday I'll be alone. And I was like, what? How did you get there? Like, how are you, you know, what's happening? And so she shared with me that about 2 years ago, I got really sick, like very, very sick. And I was in the ER, and I had to get rushed away, and my wife was with me, and I was getting some MRI for something, and the nurses actually came into the room, and they gave her a will and said, hey, we think you should fill this out. And she was devastated. She was so scared, right, that she was going to lose me and have to try to figure out how to raise our four kids alone, and how terrifying that would be. And she shared this with me, and as she's sharing with it, I was stunned, honestly. And to be honest, before, the little things that she had said or what might have felt like nagging to me or kind of, you know, what might have felt like pestering, you know, hey, I want you to eat this or do this, you know, wasn't particularly motivating for me. But once she was able to articulate that real feeling that she had, once she was able to take responsibility for what she truly felt and articulated it, to be honest, I feel a lot more motivated. I feel a lot more motivated to honor that because I don't ever want my wife to feel scared that she's going to lose me or have to do life alone. And so, but what the reality is that our feelings relate to our boundaries because first, we have to take responsibility for them, right? Nicole can't make me feel scared about what I eat. That's not within her power to do. Just like I can't make her not feel scared, right? Those are not in our control, but if she takes responsibility for what she feels, and admittedly, it was difficult for her to boil it down to that. But when she did and she shared, then I have the opportunity then to respond in kind and say, wow, I didn't know you felt that way. I don't want you to feel that way. I want to try to make choices to help make you not feel that way. And so when we can't make our spouse feel what we want them to feel, but we can communicate what we feel and then allow them to respond. In the same way, desires are another one. Desires are something that we all have, But it's our responsibility to communicate those desires, and it's also our responsibility to have those desires be met, right? So if I have a desire and it goes unmet, it's okay for me to grieve about it. It's okay for me to be like, oh man, I really wanted this to happen and it didn't happen, and disappointed. It's not okay to blame that on my spouse. Hey, you didn't do this and I really wanted this to happen and now I'm really upset about it. It's my desire. It's something that I have, and it's also my desire to make sure that that desire is met. It's my responsibility to make sure that that desire is met, not my spouse's. So the reality is, though, we need to get to the point where we can communicate that desire and then let that be okay if that desire goes met or unmet, and then set boundaries accordingly. All right, so I gave you the example of my desire to be on time. All right, so let's back up many years before Nicole and I had kids. Nicole had this desire she shared with me. She said, hey, I really want to sit in first service with you in church. All right, this is before we had kids. We haven't sat together in church for many years now. But before we had kids, she's like, hey, I really want to sit together with you in church. And I'm like, great, I love that. I really want to sit with you too. And so it gets time to leave, and then she's running late and running late. And so there were many Sundays, right, where we got here, and my desire was I really wanted to be on time. This is my job. It's important to me. And so we would be late, and I would show up, and we would sit together in service, but we were not happy about it, right? She wasn't happy about how I interacted with her. I was not happy about being late. And so we were together, but we were not happy. Right? There were two desires that were conflicting. My desire to be on time and her desire to sit together were then at war. And so I had to take responsibility for my desires, just like she had to take responsibility for hers. And so we were able to set some healthy boundaries around that. I told her, I said, hey, I really want to sit with you in service, but I also really want to be on time. If we're going to do that, I need to leave by 7:30. So I need you to be ready by 7:30. And if we do that, then we'd be great. If you can't, if we're not ready by 7:30, I need to go ahead and leave because I want to be there on time. That's important to me. All right, so next Sunday comes along. Everybody's ready at 7. No, nobody. No, she wasn't ready. She wasn't ready at 7:30. And I had this choice. I'm like, man, do I go? Do I hold this boundary that I just set? Or do I wait and be frustrated? It's my responsibility to have my desire met. So I left. Boundaries are hard. Setting boundaries are hard. And was Nicole excited about it? No, we had one car. She did not come to church that day. All right, so I came back and we had a nice long conversation, right? And it was completely mellow and we were great. Boundaries are difficult, but the reality is, right, I had to take responsibility for my desire getting met, just like she had to take responsibility for her desire getting met. And in that situation, I had to hold to that boundary. And the reality was, Nicole knew what was then expected. The boundary had been communicated. After that, it wasn't long till we were sitting together, and we actually were happy to be sitting next to each other in church. All right, so now fast forward many years. We have kids. We're back in this, you know, trying to go out on a date. And I would say to her, hey, let's go out on a date at 6:30, right? And I'd come home at 6:30, and then she wouldn't be ready. And I'm hanging out with the babysitter, and I'm like, man, what is going on? Like I said, like, let's go out. My desire is, like, I want to spend time with my wife. Like, how come she doesn't want to do that? And she's like, no, hey, I want to spend time with you. But I also have a desire. I have a desire to, like, take a shower and clean up from the mess of the four children I've been watching all day before we go out and see real people. And I'm like, I guess that's a fair desire, right? And so she set a boundary with me. She said, hey, I want to go out and I want to honor your desire of going out at 6:30. But if you want to do that, I need 45 minutes uninterrupted. I need you to cover the kids for 45 minutes so I can get ready. Right, so the reality is, if I want to leave by 6:30, I got to be home by 5:45. And if I'm not, I can't be upset if we're not leaving by 6:30, right? Because she communicated her desire and the boundary behind it. That's a healthy way to work. And I'm taking responsibility for myself. She's taking responsibility for herself. And so if I'm late, it's on me, right? But if she's late, it's on her, right? That we have healthy boundaries and we're communicating. In Mark 10:22, there's a story of the rich young ruler, and he approaches Jesus, and he's this rich young man. He approaches Jesus. He says, Jesus, I want eternal life. I want to follow you. And Jesus gives him this response. He says, if you want to follow me, then you need to keep the laws, right? And This is his response. It picks up in Mark 10, 20 through 22. And this is Jesus and this man communicating desires and boundaries. And this is his response. It says, and he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So this young man, he comes and he communicates his desire. I want eternal life and I want to follow you, Jesus. Wherever you say to go, I want to go. I want to do it. I'm on your team. And Jesus shares that desire. He looks at him and he loves him. He says, great. Here's the boundary. If you want to follow me, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. And then this young man goes, I don't like that boundary. I don't want to do that. And this man walks away discouraged because he can't honor that boundary. Now, Jesus doesn't chase him down. Jesus doesn't say, okay, well, hold on. We can come up with kind of like a layaway plan once you put your stuff on Craigslist, and then we'll just kind of sell as you go. And then if you can just kind of continually give 10% for a little bit, then we'll be good. Right? You know, that's not what he says. He lets him go. He lets him walk. He doesn't take responsibility for him. He lets the man take responsibility for himself. And he says, no, here's the boundary. If you want to follow me, if you want to say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, then you need to be willing to do the things that I ask you to do. And if you can't honor that, then you can go. And that's your choice. And so Jesus communicates both the desire, but there's an important lesson here that is so critical as we talk about boundaries in marriage. Jesus' motivation, it says he loved him. Right, as Jesus communicates this boundary, he says he loves him. An important lesson that we can learn from Jesus is that boundaries should be set in love. Boundaries are not a tool for manipulation. They're not a tool for control. And everything that we talk about, especially in the marriage relationship, isn't meant to control your spouse, to make them do what you want to do or be the way that you want them to be. No, it's meant to move your relationship towards freedom and responsibility. That moves towards deeper intimacy. And it's within that context, then, that we reflect God's glory. But not in the context of manipulation, not in the context of control, or trying to harm our spouse. These are tools to help your marriage. Right? The idea of boundaries is I'm setting limits on the bad, and I'm inviting the good. So instead of trying to change our spouse, change our boundaries, we can't blame our spouse for unmet desires. Because we all have desires that go unmet, right? I could say to my wife, hey, I said I wanted to leave at 6:30 and you're not ready and I'm upset about it. Well, I could blame all of that on her, or I could honor the boundary that she's already set and I can communicate my boundary. And so desires are an important way that we can set boundaries in our marriage. The next is limits. Setting limits on what we can give and what we can't give. A common boundary issue that happens in marriage with our spouses is when we get to this point where we give beyond what's loving and into resentment. We give beyond what's loving and into resentment. So your spouse continually asks you to do these different projects or to come through in these different ways or to come to different events. And we get to this point where you're like, oh, I'm so fed up with it. I don't want to do that anymore. But you keep doing it. And then instead of taking ownership, you go, man, why do you keep asking me to do all these things? Right? What we're doing is then, instead of setting limits on what we can give, we're now mad at them for asking. Right? And in marriage, there is this give and take. Right? We are called to be generous and to give and to love our spouses, but we also need to set limits when we begin to give to the point of resentment. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this. It says, each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Right? Our heart towards our spouse should be one of love. Cheerfully giving, saying, yes, I want to serve you in this way. Not one of like bitterness or resentment. Oh, you're asking me to do another thing. I'm so frustrated that I'm constantly serving you in all these ways. That's not cheerful. That's not giving. Well, I was talking with with Susan this week, and she shared with me just kind of how her and Russ have navigated setting some limits on what they can give.
So we're coming up on 25 years being married, but when BJ asked me for an example, I immediately went to like our second year of marriage. I know there are a lot more boundaries we've set, but this one was, I was working at Microsoft at the time, and Russ was a full-time student at the University of Washington. And at Microsoft at that time, when I was there, in the department I lived in it, there was an activity every week. And then there was these huge, big galas that, you know, there were like cool bands and cool people, and I wanted to go to all of them. So I would ask Russ, look, what are we going to do? I was so excited, and go to all these things with all of my friends from work, and Russ would, okay, I'll go. So we did that for a while, and then he started saying no. And I started getting resentful. I was like, people were wondering if I actually had a husband because he kept saying no to all of these things. And I kept wanting to go. I wanted to go. I wanted to go. And I was feeling resentful of him. And he was feeling resentful because I kept asking every week. And finally, because we were so wise, it finally blew up. And we sat down and we realized Russ is even more of an introvert than I am. And he has a limit of, you know, how much activity, especially with people he doesn't even know, he can handle. Going to these big gala of... Did I just say something funny? Okay. he said, and he also felt like going to these big galas like was completely stressful for him. Thinking about it stressed him out. So he came to the point of, I can do 2 events a year. And he didn't even want me to tell him about it until like X number of weeks prior, because if it was a Christmas event, don't tell him before Thanksgiving. So he didn't stress out about it. But I mean, it was great. We set those limits. I didn't ask him because I had gotten to the point where I was, the thing about doing it with love, I was getting to the point where I was being manipulative. I was saying, you never go, you know, doing all the things that we can do to convince our spouse to do things. I wasn't being a good person, and he wasn't being, you know, he wasn't able to be who he was supposed to be. So we set that limit, and 25 years later, I still go to 2 events a year. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Susan. So as we talk about setting limits with our spouses, the reality is we can't make our spouse ask for help less, right? We can't make them ask for help less. In fact, we don't want them to do that. But what we can do is take responsibility and then set healthy limits on what we can and can't do. And that's much harder to do because it's really easy to get to this point where we're like, stop asking me for all these things, right? And I think that applies to many of the relationships in our life, but it's really up to us to set limits on what we can and can't give, set limits on what's beyond cheerful giving and moves into resentful. At the beginning of the series, we talked about different laws that God has established, laws of nature, laws like sowing and reaping, the idea that God has made it up that there are consequences, right? There's, for every action, there's a reaction, right, is one example. And there are many more, but I thought it would be helpful if we tried to apply some of those laws that we talked about early in the series to our marriage. And so the first one is this law of sowing and reaping. And it says that every choice that we make, there's a reaction or a consequence to that choice. And in the case of marriage, this law is most prominently displayed when someone is out of control in a particular area and they need to take responsibility for their behavior. They need to suffer the consequences, but sometimes as a spouse, we get in between that, right? We don't let them reap the consequences of their decisions. So let's say, here's an example. It says, let's say a husband yells at his wife, and in response, the wife, not wanting to anger him, becomes more loving. In effect, the evil, which is the yelling, produces a good thing, the wife being more loving for him. Right? In a way, the wife is trying to avoid, she's trying to walk on eggshells. I don't want him to blow up, and I don't want him to yell, so I'm going to be more loving and more tender and more careful. But the reality is, it's the husband who's, in this case, involved in the sin. Right? Let's say this, a wife is overspending and her husband pays the consequences by getting a second job to cover the extra bills. In both of these situations, the natural consequences are needed to solve them. So what if there was a boundary like this? And maybe this is just an example, but In the case of the yelling spouse, the wife could say something like this: I want to have a healthy and loving relationship with you, but when you yell at me, I don't feel safe. So if you're going to continue to yell like that, I'm going to go into the other room until you calm down. Or if necessary, I won't talk about the subject with you unless there's another person present. Right? I can't control what my spouse is doing, the choices they make. I can, however, set limits on what I will participate in. Let's say in the second instance, the husband with the wife spending all the money may set a boundary something like this: I want to have a healthy relationship with you, but your overspending is causing a lot of stress on our relationship. If you're going to continue to spend money like that, I'm going to need to cancel the credit cards, and you may need to get a second job to pay the bills. Right? These things are incredibly difficult, and these boundaries, though they may feel like it, and you may even get accused if you're setting them, are not manipulative. They're actually established in love. Right? Because the reality is, what the goal of this is, you're trying to set limits on evil. And that's really the purpose, because if your spouse is yelling and screaming, or if there's unhealthy spending or different addictions, or and by the person who is able setting loving boundaries to communicate and say, hey, this is hurting our relationship. This is not in line with what God's word says. And so I'm going to set a boundary on my involvement in that. And I want to try to encourage you to experience the consequences of your choices. In the same way, we talked about the law of responsibility, and these examples are these are examples. And the law of responsibility says that I should take responsibility for myself, right? That somebody else, as an adult, somebody else shouldn't have to take responsibility for me. And so, to act responsible to your spouse, you confront them when there's something wrong, when there's an issue that needs to be resolved, and set a limit on it, and say no. I'm not going to let this continue. You can continue to do it because I can't stop you, but I can remove myself if necessary. The next one we talked about is the law of power. And the law of power says that while we don't have the power to change other people, especially their feelings or their choices or attitudes or core beliefs, what we do have power to change are our boundaries. So for example, let's just go through a couple really quick of some examples of what that might look like. So in the situation of yelling, before boundaries, your statement might look something like this: stop yelling at me. You have to be nicer. After boundaries might look like this: I want right relationship with you. But when you continue to yell, I don't feel safe to communicate with you. So if you continue to yell, I'm going to leave for a while until you can calm down. Right, that's a loving boundary. It's saying, hey, this yelling is harming our marriage. I want more freedom. I want more intimacy with you. So if you're yelling, I'm going to let you calm down for a little bit so that until we can have a quiet conversation, a loving conversation. What about in the instance of maybe drinking? Before boundaries, you might say, you have to stop drinking. It's ruining our family. Please listen. You're wrecking our lives. After boundaries might look something like this: you may choose to not deal with your drinking if you want, but I will not continue to expose myself and the children to this chaos. Next time you're drunk, we'll go to my parents for a night and tell them why we're there. Right? Pulling away from the situation. What about in the case of maybe an addiction to pornography or something like that? Before boundaries might be, you're a pervert to look at pornography. That's so degrading. What kind of sick person are you anyway? After boundaries might sound something like this: I will not choose to share you with naked people. If you would like to be with me intimately, you need to seek help with your addiction. All of these are setting limits on what's evil and inviting what's good. In each one of these situations, the goal isn't, we're taking the power that we do have to set boundaries and trying to move away from the power we don't have. We can't change our spouse, and this doesn't just apply in marriage. This applies in every relationship. We can't make someone do the right thing. But what we can say is, if you're going to continue in that behavior, I'm going to let you experience the consequence of that behavior, and it's impacting our relationship. And so I'm going to remove myself, or I'm going to set limits on the evil that's going on, because I want to allow the good. So the idea with each of these limits isn't to set a brick wall. It's to set a fence with a gate. Right? In each one of these situations, it's, hey, if you're going to continue to act like this unhealthy situation, then there's a wall here. There's a fence. But if you are ready to move towards me in intimacy, if you are ready to respond in a healthy way, then come in. There's a gate here. Right? That's the whole purpose of boundaries, is to continue to move us towards loving and healthy relationship, not just slam down walls. I'm going to ask Susan to pass out. She's going to pass out a little handout. And the purpose of this handout, this is taken directly from the boundaries book that's in the back. And it's basically a tool to help identify if there is a boundary area in your in any relationship, really, that you want to set and you want to kind of have a process to work through. This is a tool to help you do that, right? But as that's going around, I want to draw your attention to number four, all right? And it's a step on there called take in the good, right? So you can look it over at your own time, but I just want to focus really quickly before we end on the step called take in your good. And the purpose of this step is to remind you that we are called to community. And setting boundaries, especially in a relationship like a marriage or in your family or even with your kids, are extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. In every one of those situations that I listed, you can feel the weight and the pressure of having to set that boundary and hold to it. Extremely difficult. And so the idea behind this step is don't do it alone. Don't do it alone, especially if it is something that's new to you. If your relationship hasn't experienced these kind of loving boundaries before, or if there's a big issue, I really want to encourage you. Invite someone into it. Get some help. Because as we end this kind of radiant series, my hope is that our relationships and that our relationships with our kids and with our spouse and with the people around us would look different. Would look different from the world, because that's really what it's all about, is that when somebody looks at my marriage or looks at the way that I interact with my kids or the way that I interact with the outside world, they should see something different. They should see Jesus. The Holy Spirit should be visible in my life, and his influence and how he's transforming me should be visible in my life. I should be radiant. And in our marriages in particular, the true purpose of marriage is to reflect the radiance of God's glory. That's the purpose of marriage. Above anything else, it's to point back to Jesus. And so my prayer, as we conclude this series, is I pray that when the community looks at our relationships, when they look at our marriages, when they look at how we interact with our kids or how we interact in community, even in this church, that they would see Jesus. They would see something different than anywhere else. Beginning next week, we're going to be kicking off a new vision series for Adventure Church, and it's just called Live the Adventure. And over the past year and a half, the elders have spent a lot of time in prayer just seeking the Lord about what's next for Adventure. What's the mission that God has called us into? And I'm really, really excited to share with you some of the things that we feel like God's been leading us into and tell you a little bit about what that looks like and then how you can be involved. And so I encourage you, join us next week for that. I just want to close in prayer and then I'll share with you something about our offering. Jesus, we thank you so much. God, we thank you for all that you are doing in our lives, the way that you grow us, the way that you teach us, the way that your Spirit moves in our lives. Lord, would you help us to have radiant marriages, marriages that reflect your glory, marriages that stand up for truth, that say no to evil and say yes to the good that you have for us. Lord, would you help us to be a more radiant people? Would you help us to experience more and more of the abundance that you've called us to? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.